It's good to see you people again. Brother Draper called me Friday morning, and I can't fill in for him. I couldn't take his place if I wanted to. But we need one another as we travel through this life. And we are not going to take a lot of time. I hope that somebody or each and every one can pray in our behalf that God might be with us. The Bible teaches that where two or three are gathered together, there he'll be in the midst, and that to bless. And we feel like that number's here this morning. You want to pick out a short hymn to sing?
Page 152.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
Page 152.
Hungry and faint and poor, behold the Lord again, a symbol that thy mercy.
Try to pray.
Gracious Lord Jesus and God of heaven and earth, as we bow before thee once again in this life, Father, we stretch our hands to thee, desiring that you might hear our plea, that you might be in the midst and that to bless, that we might be enabled to glorify your precious and marvelous name. And Lord, this morning we thank you for the shades of another day. And thank you for the blessings of the beautiful sunlight once again in this life. And Lord, this morning as we come before thee, remember the moderator of this little church, Heavenly Master. Be with him and his family. Not only them, dear God, but be with each and every one here today. Oh Lord, supply our needs, both natural and spiritual. And Heavenly Master, we want to ask you this morning to try to ask you to remember the ones that's upon the beds of affliction, the ones whose bodies is racked with pain. Oh, Heavenly Master, it could be your holy will, but touch them with the finger of thy healing power. And dear righteous Lord, this morning, as we come before thee and before thy people, give us something that we might be enabled, dear God, by thy divine delivering spirit, that we might lift the blood-stained banner of King Emmanuel and wave it gently. Oh, Heavenly Father, this morning, remember the many ones that's in the rest homes that would give anything to have this glorious privilege. May each and every one that's here today look heavenward and say, Father, I thank you for the blessing that you blessed me with today, and most of all for the blessing of a desire to assemble together in worship and admiration of our Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Master, remember the ones of its lost loved ones. Righteous eternal Father, send that invisible companion, the Holy Spirit, to comfort them. And now, dear Lord, we're not heard for much continuation in words, but we want to ask you, O Heavenly Master, remember, continue to remember this nation. You've blessed us so much over the years, days, and past. Give us men of a powerful heart to be leaders. And then, dear Lord, when thou art through with us in this life, give us a peaceful hour to cross through the valley of the shadow of death. Return us back to the mother dust in peace with thee. And on the glorious resurrection morning, may we be among that glorified host that'll hear that welcome applause. Come in, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Then we can praise you forever and ever. These blessings and offerings we ask in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And amen.
Desire that you continue to have a prayerful heart in our behalf. We'll be the first to tell you that we can't preach. But the scripture, the scripture has run through my mind for the last several days. I might ask you this question, and if our feelings is not quickly changed, we'll have a short service. If somebody asked you today what you thought of Christ, what would be your answer? That's Jesus' language. You'll find this in the 22nd chapter of St. Matthew's, the 42nd verse, in his language. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" And they begin to give him different answers. But this morning we want to think about just a little bit that name Jesus. We find the writer said in Isaiah that a virgin shall conceive, and she shall bring forth a son, for he shall save his people from their sins. And you know, the world has ever tried to deny the virgin birth. They're still trying to do it today. But when that angel spoke to Mother Mary over there and said, "Hail thou highly favored among women, that is conceived of thee is of the Holy Ghost." And you know, when she went out there, and they talk about the doctrine of grace, and I hope somebody can pray for me, this choking will go away. I'd love to, if I could be blessed, I'd rather do anything in the world than to try to preach. But if God blessed me with the divine delivering power, I'd rather feel the presence of that delivering power than anything that I've ever felt. And I believe each one here this morning that's ever felt to be in the need of a loving Savior and prayed the prayer, "Lord, have mercy on me," and you felt like truly in your heart that the Lord of glory heard your plea, and not only did he hear your plea, but as we've said many times, and we probably might have used it when we were here the last time, as a great Samaritan, you know, as he came, the first thing he didn't do as a priest and the Levite, he didn't pass on one side, and on the other side you can't find this man being robbed and stripped and left half dead. You can't find where either one of those men done him any good, did they? But the great Samaritan, as he sojourned, which is in my mind a type and a shadow of the blessed Son of God, but as he sojourned, the first thing the Bible tells us that he looked upon him and he had compassion on him. And glory to God today, it's great to tell you that the Lord of glory was given you in the covenant of grace held between God the Father and God the Son before the scripture says that the earth was even formed, and that he loved you with such a love that he's willing to come into where this earth where you dwell. And there we find that when he come to that man, the first thing that he done, he bound up his wounds. Do you feel like this morning that
that you in your mind and your glories, blessings from Almighty God, can feel like in your heart that the Lord of glory placed a hope in there, that he did come to you, and he bound up your sin-sick heart, and he rolled those sins back into the sea of forgiveness, never to be remembered anymore. And not only that, but he carried him to the end. But let's go back to where what thank you of Christ, whose son is he? Think just a little bit over there when he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and the old king sought to kill him, and God warned Joseph in the dream to take him down into Nazareth. Nothing had ever come out of Nazareth before that was good, but here Jehovah God sent his son down there, and then we find that when they went back to pay their taxes and to do what was custom in that day, then we find that the Lord Jesus went with them. But when they returned back home, they started back home, and the Bible, the scriptures tells us that when a day's journey there without the lad, well, that's contrary to nature. Very few of us would leave our children a whole day and not wonder where they was, would you? But God had a reason for it and a plan. And when they returned back, what did they find the blessed Son of God doing? They found him there in the temple talking to the leaders and explaining things. And we find when they stood there and they began to be amazed of this lad. And they even asked him, they said, how old are you? He said, I'm 12 years old on my mother's side. But on my father's side, I've been ever since the beginning of time. And it'll be as long as time goes on. And they begin to question him there. And do not you believe this morning that our Lord was with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost in the beginning of time? But we went on just a little farther. What thank you and whose son is he? I know the world, they try to condemn the virgin birth, but God told that mother there, sent that angel to tell her. And when she went over there to her cousin Elizabeth to tell him what things was going on, we find then John being 3 months before he was born there, when he heard the holy salutation, then he leaped for joy. Don't tell me that God's grace won't reach every promise from conception to the grave. But we find then this lad as he stood there and as he went on there, and they began to talk, and they asked him what his name was, and he said, on my mother's side my name is Jesus, but on my father's side my name is Emmanuel. Glory to God. Today we find then as he stood there and they asked him, they said, what kind of work you gonna do? He said, on my father's side I'll be a carpenter, on my mother's side I'll be a carpenter, but on my father's side I'm gonna be the redeemer. I'm gonna save every one of my people from their sins. And my friends, today as he's traveled there and they begin to ask him how long that he'd been and how long that he would stay on this earth, he said, on my mother's side I'll stay some 33 and a half years, but on my father's side I'll be forever and forever. And they asked him that when he would die, and he said, in about 33 and a half years I'll die. They're going to give me a barred tomb. I'm going to use, I don't need it but just a little while. I'm going to just be there 3 days and nights, and then I'm going to get up and I'm going to not need it anymore. But they asked him how long he, that he would do this work, and he began to tell him that he's going to go back, he's going to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God, there to make intercession for you and for me. How many times do we look heavenward and say, Lord, I thank you, and Lord, help me through this day. And as we look again, as we see whose son he is there, and they begin to ask him there what was going to happen, and these things he began to tell them, and he began to tell them that he had all power
both in heaven and in earth. And we find that when that he was, he said, I come for a reason. And they asked him what his work was. They said, on my father's side, on my mother's side, my work is a carpenter. But on my father's side, I come to set up the church of the living God. And he did do that. And he left an example for you and for me. Because we find then, John said, behold, there stands one among you whom I'm not worthy even to loosen the latches of his shoes. He shall baptize you with water unto repentance, but he'll baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. And when Jesus came to him and he baptized him, he set an example for you and I. And when he came out there, we find then that old man Satan that troubles you and troubles me. If he don't trouble you, he does me. We find that when that he got there, and when he began to question him there, he said, if Satan knew who he was, but he said, if thou be the Christ, command these stones to be made bread. What did Jesus tell him? He said, get behind me, Satan. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I love to hear the brethren be blessed to blow those gospel notes to tell sinners, as the old Isaiah said there in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And he didn't stop there. Tell them that their warfare is accomplished, and that they have received double at the hands of the Lord for all of their sins and iniquities. What's more comforting to you this morning than to be made mindful that the Lord of glory left the portals of heaven and the mortal glory, came to this earth, bled and died on Calvary's cross, to set you free, to remove you from the bondage of sin, and to present you back to God the Father without spot and without blemish. And there on the cross, when he hung between heaven and earth, we find then that he even divided the believers and the unbelievers. For we find then there was one on the left and one on the right, and they begin to rail him. And they, the one on the right said, don't rail this man. He's done nothing amidst we've received our just rewards, but this man's done nothing wrong. And then we find then the one on the left said, if thou be the Christ, come down and save us. Why did he say that? The man didn't want to die, did he? But the one on the right-hand side, then he done something that was contrary to what the other man was saying, wasn't he? I believe here's a type and a shadow of the grace of Almighty God's revealing knowledge was revealed to him because he did something that the other man didn't do. He called him Lord, didn't he? Have you ever looked towards the Lord Jesus and called him Lord? And he had more knowledge than that, didn't he? He didn't stop just calling him Lord. It wasn't revealed to him that he's just his Lord and Master, but that his Lord and Master had a kingdom. He said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And you can't find on the pages of the book where Jesus told him he had to do anything, but he said, this day thou shalt dwell with me in paradise. I think sometimes over there where old Philip, where that he went and joined himself to the chariot, the eunuch was sitting there reading, and he didn't understand what he's reading. And Philip asked him, does thou understand this, what thou readest? And how he said, how shall I understand unless some man guide me? And Philip took the same scriptures that he was reading and preached Jesus to him. There's only one way to heaven and the water glory. It's through and by the redeeming blood of the blessed Son of God. I believe according to the record, there's some 285 denominations in America today. But they all have to have the same story. They don't all use the same avenues. And sometimes they try as Satan has tried there from the Garden of Eden. They try to confuse people. They try to confuse them. But the ones that the Holy Spirit of Almighty God has been revealed to, that man hanging there on the cross, he knew it was his Lord. And Jesus revealed it to him, didn't he? And did he not reveal himself to you? I can tell you about Jesus from now till the end of time. And if you have never been acquainted with him by the divine delivering power of the Holy Holy Spirit and been born to that Spirit, it won't do you a bit of good. You can be baptized 100 times. If you've not been born again, you'll go down a wet sinner and you'll come up a wet sinner. But are not you glad of one thing? Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. My cross is meek and lowly. And not only did he, let's go just in all season and get out of the way, but who was delivered for our offenses was raised again for our justifications. And we find over there, and this scripture is used many times, all things work together for good to them that are called, to them that love the Lord. And they stop there, but to go on just a little further, for whom that he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, and them that he foreknew. I believe the Bible teaches us, and I believe from the bottom of my heart, that the God of glory foreknew everyone that'll be in heaven in immortal glory. Some of my friends, they advocate, they say that Jesus went back to heaven to build heaven, and to build it just big enough for how many will be there. Well, he knew how many is going to be there before he left heaven in immortal glory. The Bible teaches that their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there when there was John Webb, you know, he didn't find nobody that could loosen the seals of this book, but the one that died on Calvary's cross was worthy to loosen the seals. And them that he foreknew, and this word scares a lot of people to death, he did predestinate. And if you read the meaning of it, it only means predetermined. It don't say anything about good and bad acts, but God predetermined a people to be conformed to the image of his Son. And not only did he do that, but them that he predetermined, predestinated, he also called. And I believe somewhere between conception and the grave, that everyone that Jesus died for on Calvary's cross will call on his precious name. And not only did he call, but he justified them. And the Lord of glory justified you when he died on Calvary's cross, and when he shed his blood there to set you free. And let's go just a moment, and I'll hasten and get out of the way. I'd love to feel different from the way I do now. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And we know what a shepherd is. It's the overseer of the flock. And are not you glad that the Lord called you sheep? And not only did he call you sheep, but he prepares everything you need. He said, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why could he say that? Because our Lord and Master, he told him over there, he said, I'm going to be buried in a barred tomb, but I'm not going to need it very long, because I'm going to rise. He told him there in the temple, he said, you can destroy this temple in 3 days. I'm going to raise it up again. Well, they thought he was talking about the magnificent temple, the huge building that took many years to build. But he is talking about his precious body. And when even the king must have doubted it, because the Bible teaches that they placed guards there. And he said, make it as sure as you can. But you know, the Lord of glory arose there, and the guards stood as dead men, and it didn't bother. They didn't know a thing about it, but there was somebody that was looking for him, wasn't he? And when the Marys went out there to anoint his body, and they began to penetrate in their heart, who's going to remove this huge stone? But when they got there, there sat an angel on that stone, and is already removed. And the angel had a message for him, didn't he? Why seek you the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. No wonder the grand old church can rejoice, because our Lord and Master has done just what he said he's going to do. When he told those men there, when they was questioning him there in the temple, he said, I've got an everlasting work, and I'm going to arise. I'm going to redeem my people. And he did do that thing. He didn't try to do it, and he didn't need any help to do it, but he done one thing. He came right to where you was, and he bound up your troubled heart. And not only only did he do that, but the scripture says he put that man on his own beast, which is another way of traveling. Did he not give you another way to travel? He gave you faith to walk by and something to lean on. And you take over there, you know, when he began to speak to Moses over there, and he saw that burning bush, and it wasn't being consumed, and he couldn't understand why it wasn't being consumed. He said, I'll go and see this event. But when he got there, God spoke to him, and he said, take off your shoes, for the ground that you stand on is holy ground. And he began to instruct him and tell him what he had to do, and he began to make excuses, didn't he? But he didn't get it off that easy. He sent him, and we'll go. We won't try to go through all of those plagues and all of those tribulations, but let's go back just a little further. God's people was carried down to Egypt by Joseph there. We won't get into that, but you know, when they were carried down there, they was given the best land there was, and they enjoyed it a little while, but they got rich and they got important, and they quit giving God honor and quit giving God glory, and God didn't forget about them, but he just allowed them by their disobedience to come under the bondage there. And when they got under the bondage, and there was somebody that remembered, I hear the scripture saying this, out of Egypt have I heard the cries of my people, and I am come down to deliver them. And when that he done that thing, have you ever thought about when Moses was born there, and he was placed there in the little ark, that old king's daughter, she had the luxuries of all that day. She didn't have to go down to the stream to take a bath, but it was in God's plan and God's will that and even he took and raised Moses there right under the old king's doorstep. But when he got there to the plagues, and he told him, he said, you take one without spot, one without blemish, in other words, one that's perfect, and let the whole assembly slay this animal. And he told him to take the blood and to cast it on the lintels and put it on the door post, and he told him why too.
He said, for tonight I'm going to send the deaf angel over, and where she sees this blood applied, she's going to go on over. But where she don't see that blood, she's going to take the first out of every home, even the animals. And we know up until that time, old Pharaoh had told Moses, he said, you can take these people out yonder and let and worship. In return, he know they'd return. You can go 3 days' journey, but leave your riches here, leave your family here, leave your children here. In other words, anything was precious to him, he had to leave, didn't he? But when he told him then, when that that death angel passed over, and he told those Egyptians what was going to happen, he told Moses what was going to happen to the Egyptians, and he told him what for the Israelites to be doing. Tell my people to cast on their garments and be ready to travel. For tonight, I'm going to send that deaf angel. And he didn't stop there. The next morning here, we hear these Israelites over here. Well, they are feasting and they're rejoicing. But over here in Egypt, there's sorrow and there's death. And we hear the people who's telling the king, oh, king, let them go, lest we all die. And they traveled there, and we won't get into that. They traveled there for many years in the wilderness. And looked like that everything that they wanted, God supplied their needs, not what they wanted. They become hungry, he rained down manna for them. They become thirsty, he enabled Moses to take that rod and strike the rock, and out came water. But when they got to the Red Sea, there was mountains on either side, the sea in front, and the Egyptians behind. And they done just like we do many times when everything don't go pleasant. They begin to murmur and grumble. Well, Moses, had been better if you just left us over there. We did have barren grounds. But what did Moses tell them? God, you know, he always works in the last minute, it seems like. But when he told him, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he was instructed by God to point that rod towards the sea. And when he did, I know we've got great men of scientists. They're trying to teach and trying to imply that at that time in history that, and I'm glad to say probably, they're not sure about it, but they still want their words about it, that probably in that time the sea was just a few inches deep, and that's why them children walked through. But read what the book says. The book says that God, the Jehovah God, caused the elements begin to move and walled the sea up as great walls of glass, and the
children of Israel was commanded to walk through, and you can't find where near one of them was lost going through there either. And when they came out on the other side, they sang a new song. Moses and the Lamb, deliverance had come, and the Egyptians saw how easy it was for them to do that, and they said, we'll just throw in and we'll overtake them and we'll bring them back. They had their chariots, they had their horses, but the Bible teaches that when their chariots got in the midst of the sea, that he even caused the wheels to come off of them, and they began to go round and round in all kind of confusion. But then God rolled the sea back together, and he told Moses and the Israelites, the Egyptians you see today, you'll see no more. That's a type, I believe, of our sins, that the blessed Son of God rolls into the sea of forgetfulness, and you never see him or bothered with them anymore. And this doctrine they talk about, that this doctrine's not great, good enough for the modern world, well, it's good enough, and it's just as important. God's just as alive today as he was when he spoke this vast universe into existence. He's not lost any of his power, and I can't find where he's asked man to help him make anything. He made it all. And he looked on it, and it was good, and it had to be good because God made it. And then after he made it, he said, let us who? God the Father and God the Son, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And he taken the very dust of the earth, and he that he had created, a man was made for something already created. And when he breathed the breath into him, he become a living soul. And we don't have time to get into that, but this doctrine of God's electing grace, it went with the children of Israel down into Egypt. It brought them out of Egypt. They came out on the other side. It's been tried in the fire furnace when the old king had them in, cast into that fire furnace. And then the Bible teaches that when he looked in the next morning, he said, behold, we cast in three, but there's a third. There's a fourth man. And I believe that it was the Lord Jesus. He walked with you in the fire trials of this life, and even there when old Daniel was cast into the den of lions, I've heard people say a lion's den. It could have been a lion's den and not been a lion in miles of it, but the scripture says that it was a den of lions, and when they cast that old servant in, they thought he's going to be crushed before he hit the bottom of the pit, but God was there. And when that old king went out the next morning, he said, behold, there. And old Daniel said, oh king, live forever, because my God has sent his angels and has closed the mouth of the lions, and they've done me no harm. And that old king had a decree passed then that they'd worship nobody but Daniel's God.
I know we've been scattering and we'll show it, but we're going to give away at this time. Desire that you continue to pray for us. Every time that we arise before God's people, it's a different time. Sometimes it seems like that heaven comes down, and sometimes we're just not blessed like we desire to be. But I'm glad of one thing. We have a rich, almighty friend. Not only do we have, but all of us have. Jesus the Savior is his name. And the scripture says, and he freely loves and without end. And if there's no end to something, there ain't no end. And some glorious day when the last one, I saw an article the other day where this man's wanting you to send him so much money, and he'd tell you when the end of time was coming. Well, that ain't nothing new. That's been going on a long time. And all this, as the old colored preacher said, all this Taiwan junk that they sell to try to scare people into the church. I'll tell you one thing. If the Holy Spirit of Almighty God deals with you, you'll hear it, and it'll get your attention. And then when he said that sent him so much he'd tell you when the end of time come. And my thought was this: how stupid can people be from a natural standpoint? The Bible teaches when the time will come, and when the last hour of promise, praise to God, the Lord, have mercy on me, a hell-deserving sinner. And Jesus looks over to God the Father and say, Father, that's the last one I died for on Calvary's cross. There'll be no more need then of this earth. And then he's going to look over to the gable angel and say, place one foot on the land and one on the sea, and declare by him that lives forever. And they talk about something exciting. They're going to see something exciting when as Paul said, when this corruption puts on incorruption and this mortal puts on immortality, when them that sleeps in the grave is resurrected, and them that remain there be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. And people talk about, they sing a song, you're going to heaven one by one. The Bible says you're going to be carried. And I believe you'll be carried by the same power that carried our Lord Jesus. Old brother down in Florida a couple of years ago preached a sermon on the cloud. He said he went away on a cloud and he's coming again on a cloud. And there's a whole lot of, there's a big text in that, the clouds of glory and so forth. So may God bless you is our prayer. Pick you out of him.
Bye.
and you don't have to travel at his own expense. Also, lunch has been brought out. We invite each and every one to stay and have lunch with us. Brother Ernest Stone, Brother Houston Stone, passed away. His funeral will be tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock at Wilkerson's Funeral Home. The family will be at Wilkerson's Funeral Home tonight from 7 to 9. That's Mr. Houston Stone, Brother Ernest Stone, not a stranger one yet. Thank you, Brother Dudley.
All my business, once again, appreciate the blessings of being with you. We say anything that's comfortable, and give God the honor and the glory. We bow with us, bless the Lord. Yes, sir. Gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life to this present time. Now, dear God, we pray thy blessings among the ones that's lost loved ones. Play thy blessings among the ones that's dead. Lord, we ask that it be your holy will. Supply this congregation with every needful blessing, both natural and spiritual, that you see this stand in need of. When we are through with us, may we cross through the valley of the shadow of death in peace with thee. Thee, gone on before, on the glorious resurrection morning, on us in crowns now. We humbly pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.